I've spent the last 4 weeks in chaos at my house in West Jordan. We had our living room, our kitchen, and our dining room gutted to the studs. I hate remodeling. I thought it would be really cool. I hate it. There is so much dust, noise, confusion. Thank God I don't have any dogs in my house, because it would be just out of control. But yeah, but during this time, the Lord spoke to me. That's why I spent a lot of time down here, because we had contractors, you know, plumbers, electricians, all this other stuff going on. And so the house went from dry bones, like Ezekiel, and it's slowly coming back to life. All new lights, new walls, new hardwood floor put into three rooms. I didn't know the wood was so expensive. You know, Jason, you feel my pain. And now we have the new cabinets just got installed during the week. And as I see this kitchen, dining room, living room coming back to life, it makes me think of the song that we sang this morning as far as Ezekiel. But it makes me think about the dry bones. A year ago, in this happy little church that I dearly love, we saw some dry bones. But over the last year and a couple of months, those dry bones are not so dry anymore. The sinew has come back. The muscle is coming back. The flesh is coming back. And for the last few weeks, I've been speaking to you about two things. One is the Holy Spirit's coming. Holy Spirit's coming in a mighty way. So you need to be prepared. And that's what I've been doing here for the last couple few weeks, is going, preparing you for the coming of the Holy Spirit in your personal lives. That's why we've talked about Moses and the burning bush. That was his point of salvation, the burning bush, when he met God. God did a couple of things. He said, I am God. He says, I am. He called himself Yahweh, which means Lord. He did a variety of things, but he set up his holiness with Moses by telling him, take off your sandals. He set up that boundary, said, do not come too close, because if you come too close, you're going to die. Now, I'm not saying that to you. I'm not saying that at all. But in this story, in Exodus, the first six verses, you see after they're in the third month, Israel is now in Mount Sinai. They're at the mountain. It's a time of holiness. Moses goes up the mountain. And I find it interesting. It's not a burning bush experience. He's already had that. But now he's able to go in front of God and chit-chat. We only have a little smidgen of really what's said on the mountaintop at any given time for when Moses went up there. Because he went up there several times. And I can't believe that he's just up there for a couple of minutes. Gets it like the Ten Commandments, which is in Exodus 20, 21, and then comes back down. But he actually, he's having a time, a conversation, an exchange of information with God. Let's go to verse 4. Moses went up the mountain to God. That's in the first three verses. He goes up to God, and God called him, Moses. Verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. What he's doing is establishing a memory with Moses, and he wants Moses to say that to the nation of Israel. I bore you on eagle's wings. What's the significance of eagle's wings? What's the significance of an eagle in the Bible? Anybody want to say? Where's the mic? Where's the mic? Okay, you got the mic. Cindy's got the mic. And she goes, don't ask me, Dave. So what's the point? What's the point of having eagle wings? Let's talk about this. Who's the symbol of our own nation? The bald eagle. What's the big deal about eagles when you compare them to sparrows and hawks and falcons and other things? They're strong. They're really big. They fly very high, like 10,000 feet. If you get too close to them, they have an attitude. You try to take their eggs, they will bite you, claw you, things like that. But they're a symbol of strength. And you'll see that in Isaiah, there are some points in there where it talks about wings of eagles. So that's a sign of strength. Okay. What about the Egyptians? What did God do to the Egyptians? What did he do to Pharaoh and the army? He drowned them. I mean, he died quick. They just didn't go, hey, I'm going for a swim. No, they went in and they died. They're gone. So he's building a memory. Verse 5 and 6. Let's review this one. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Tremendous promises here. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. I need somebody here to go to 2 Chronicles. I need a volunteer. Who wants a volunteer? Lisa. Thank you. You're back. I have a lot of picking on you to do because you guys have been gone so much. So 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's a very famous verse, but I don't expect you guys will go, oh yeah, I knew that verse. But that doesn't mean you recall it off the top of your head. Second Chronicles 7:14.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Thank you very much. Now keep your finger on that, okay, on that verse for me. Okay. Thank you. All right. Jason, not to be left out. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is the Wells family review that we're doing here. Okay, so what I'd like for you to read from your version of the Bible that you've got there, Jason, is read again Exodus 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5.
Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine.
Okay, so what's the common point of those two verses? What's the common point of the two verses? The first one out of Exodus says, if you will keep my covenant, if you will keep the promises. They go through a whole period of not doing so well. We have, you know, the five books, we end up with Judges and that sort of thing. Second Chronicles 7:14 is the Holy Spirit, God Jehovah, crying out to the nation saying, if you'll come back to me, there's another promise. So he's, in Exodus, you've got this relationship of, if you'll keep my promises, you're going to be my nation. I own all the earth. They repent, they do well, they fall into worshiping Asherah and Baal and a bunch of others. And then, eventually, we have to have 2 Chronicles 7:14. So here's my question to you. We as a church, or you as individuals, where are you at? Are you in, where do you see yourself? Exodus 19, 1 through 6? Or do you see yourself a little bit around 2 Chronicles 7:14. Where do you see yourself? Some self-examination. This is part of that wilderness experience. Where do you see yourself with the Lord? Let's go on. So verse 4 is the memory. Verse 5, it's a promise from God to the nation. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Wow. What are we before God right now? As Christians, what are we before God right now? Paul writes about it. We are the church. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. That's what we are. So we shouldn't have to worry about the Exodus 19:1-6 promise, because we had Jesus who bore the sins, who brought us into the kingdom. We shouldn't have to worry about 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it's I'm calling you out of sin. I need you back. I want you back. I invite you back. Back to Moses. I need somebody to read. Who wants to read verse 9, chapter 19, verse 3? Who wants to read that for me? Who wants to read that for me? Who would like to not read that for me? Okay, let's give Elaine the mic there. So go ahead and read verse 3 from your version there.
Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel."
Okay. So Moses is in that mode right now of he needs to listen, because God's got some very candid chatting to do with him. When Moses was up there on the mountain, how do you think Moses was? How do you think he felt at that time? In awe. Fear. Now, it could be a couple of different ways. It could be fear as in really seriously afraid. Or the general word of fear that's in the Bible is one of reverence. The awe. One of love. And in the same time, I'm sure in the back of his head, of course, God already knows it, he's going, "What am I doing here? I'm now in charge of 600,000 plus crazy Israelites who complain about not enough water, not enough food, not enough bread, all these things." But he's going, "I'm here. I'm going to be that servant of God because I've been given that mission." Then have you ever feel that way? Like, what am I doing here? What's my mission? Oh, God just asked me to do something. Now, here's what I want you to do. Everybody pull out your cell phone. Those of you that aren't playing games on it right now. Okay, so pull out your cell phone and hold it up in the air. There's a reason of my madness here. Okay, so when the Lord speaks to you, okay, you can put them down now. So when the Lord speaks to you, is it in the form of like Moses and God, say, on the mountain? Or is it the Holy Spirit and that silent voice? Or do you tend to tune out the Holy Spirit because you're busy on the phone? How do you respond? Do you respond quicker to the click of the phone or that little nudge of the Holy Spirit? I was thinking about that when I was driving up here this morning. I was going, why is it that we respond so quickly? The phone goes ding dong or whatever it's going to say to you, however you have your ringtone set up. And it does that and you're immediately looking. But how is it when the Holy Spirit's talking to you? How do you respond, Janelle? I like you. I love your honesty. Janelle, I love your honesty. Now, I'm coming down here because I'm going to hand you the mic here in a minute. No, I won't do that to you. Jesse.
Well, I guess the recorder on cell phone, I guess it could be an unexpected call. My father's been dead now for almost 4 years. The other day I was at work and my phone rang and I looked down at it and it said, "Dad's cell." And I'm like, freaking out. So I answered with my dad's boss, of course. But it's kind of the same thing that you said. What would happen if God actually told you to vote?
Yeah. So if you've got a cell phone number for God and it comes up as a flame, I suggest you answer it. Right. You know, here's one of the things. When we had our church service start this morning, I'm up here doing my pastor thing. And I'm getting ready, we've done our joys and concerns for prayers and everything, I'm feeling this little nudge going, Dave, let's have a quick time of prayer for everybody. So I had to think about that for a few seconds because I'm going, okay, well, we're in church. That makes sense that I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. But then I go, it's no different outside. You have mind chatter. You have all kinds of things that affect you trying to hear the Spirit. So, Janelle, what you said, I love what you said. Thank you very much for sharing that with everybody. Because sometimes you don't know if you're hearing the Holy Spirit or not. You go, was that God? Now, again, if the phone rings and there's a little fire on it, you need to answer that. Don't say, not now, I'm busy.
Your icon,
still fire now. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, all the kidding aside, it's hard to hear the Spirit sometimes because we have so much commotion going on around us. I just finished finals last night at 8:30 for summer. Yay! I'm now going into 4 weeks of heavy drinking to get ready for fall. Not really. But that definitely got in the way. The construction of my house, trying to take care of church things, hear the Holy Spirit, do self-care for myself as I go across the stage here and hope that I don't trip. You know, all these things going on, it's hard sometimes to hear the Spirit. Because you have so much life happening. Now, in Moses' time, he had a lot of life. He had over 600,000 examples of life happening around him. And he still made sure that he got up the mountain. So my thought for you this morning is, are you starting your trip up the mountain? Not around the mountain. That's different. But are you starting your trip up the mountain to go have that wilderness experience with God? If not, why not? Well, that kind of rhymes. Anyway, so take the time out for yourself to pray, to fast, read the Bible. Take the dogs out for a walk. Take the cat out for a walk. You know, whatever you have to do. But have some relaxation time and put yourself in God's presence. You go, Dave, I don't have time. Take 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes out. Go have that experience with God. And you'll find that it'll turn into 10 minutes. Now, here's one of the issues. When you go to listen to the Holy Spirit, now in Moses' case, he was right there in front of God. God was speaking to him. But for us, it's a little more difficult. Because can you see the Holy Spirit? We don't see God, we don't see Jesus, we don't see the Holy Spirit. That's where faith comes in. However, we see the workings of God. We see the workings of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit. And I try my best, fail that I do, but I try my best to be keyed into what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Sometimes, as Benjamin is so apt to say to me, he says, Dad, that was an epic failure. And I agree with him. I go, yes, son, you are so correct. You're going to have those epic failures. But don't stop trying. Don't stop trying. Now, I'm a pretty tired individual right now. Emotionally, everything's because of school. So I have a year to go. December of next year, I graduate. I'm going, yeehaw, hallelujah, amen. Don't blow it. But I go, it doesn't matter how long this journey takes. I'll get it done. So remember, as you start to move up the mountain, it's a journey. But take the time to do it. God can hardly wait to see you. And he may be already talking to you. And those of you that are teachers, he'll be talking to you all day long saying, it's okay, be calm, be calm. It's okay, don't worry about it. Tell your husbands when you get home. You know, that sort of thing. You know, or take that time out to pray. The rest of you, when you're at work, or you're just hanging out at home and you're moving a rock at 5 in the morning or whatever you're doing, take the time to say, what is it I always do that I've told you a number of times? Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Say good morning. Take the time out. Get that day moving in the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to move up the mountain? How many of you do not want to move up the mountain? It's okay to do that too. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's going to come along and it's going to nudge you. Out of the mouth of babes. I love it. How old are you? You're 3, almost 4, and you're ready to move in God's love. God, I love that. You know, the rest of you, why didn't you say that? Okay. But the Lord loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us in spite of ourselves. So during today, the rest of the day and the rest of the week, enjoy the Lord. Go, Lord, I'm here. I want to climb the mountain. I guarantee you it's going to happen because I've been praying for each and every one of you. And you go, Dave, I know because my whole week went to heck this last week. You laugh, Janice. So I do. I pray for you. I take the church membership, and I start praying for you by name. I know what pew you're going to sit in. So I pray for that pew. That God's little fire will from the Bunsen burner will come up through and light a fire in each one of you. You guys are good. The Lord loves you. You're a good church. You're a good congregation. You're just as mischievous as I am. I love that. I love that. And Ev's over here going, okay, Dave, what kind of trouble are you leading us into now? But let's have fun in the Lord. The Lord has a sense of humor. That's why I'm here as your pastor. Well, you didn't have to laugh that loud. Okay? But we're in this together. We're on the mountain. Instead of making the trails, you keep repeating the same life lessons over and over again. Let's go up the mountain and let's have that meeting with God. Well, let's come out transformed from that. Are you ready to be changed? Amen. He's ready. How about the rest of you? He's in charge now. Okay, so can all of God's people say amen to let's move up the mountain?
Amen.
Amen. I want to break out into that song, amen, but I don't know all the songs to it. Okay. Amen, amen, hallelujah. All right, let's, I need a couple volunteers for